Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Today we're going to be changing it around a little bit tonight. My special guests tonight are Robert McKay, who is a candidate for president for the NAACP, and also I will have on the line with me Mr. Eddie B. Harris, who is an author of Take the Chain Off Your Brain. But I'm thanking all my listeners to tune in and to call in because tonight is going to be a very interesting segment, like every night is, because we're going to be educating you on what's going on in and around our communities. I have someone now live on the line. Good evening. You're live on the line with In the Know with Mo. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
457. Hi. You're live on the line. The show is live on the air as we speak.
This is Mr. Eddie Harris here. How you doing?
Eddie Harris? Well, you're live on the line. Eddie Harris is the young man that just spoke up, who is the author of Take the Chain Off Your Brain, and we're going to be having him back on also tomorrow night because we have something hot going on this weekend, so I've asked Eddie to allow us to use this time to involve him with our conversation. Welcome, Eddie, to In the Know with Mo. We also have, just fine, thank you, just fine. We have someone else on the line, 322. Is this Mr. Robert McKay? Hello?
No, this is Bruce Crosby here.
Bruce Crosby, welcome to In the Know with Mo. You're live on the line. We are going across the nation, and I just want all the listeners to know I have two prominent men on the line here. Bruce Crosby, I want to welcome you to our show. We do a show every night from 10 to 10:30, and we really are hitting home with breaking out information. And on the line with you right now, I have all your mics open, so I just want you to know that all your lines are open so you can readily converse. I am waiting for Robert McKay to come on. And on the line with you, Bruce Crosby, is the author, Eddie B. Harris, who's the author of Take the Chain Off Your Brain. And I'm trying to see now if I have Mr. Robert McKay. Are you on the line with us?
I'm here, Ms. Forte.
Okay, so now I have on the line Robert McKay, Mr. Eddie Harris, and Bruce Crosby. Let's open up this floor. Last night we talked with Robert McKay, who was the candidate for president of the NAACP. But Mr. Bruce Crosby, I'd like for you to tell our listening audience a little something about yourself.
Well, I am a voting rights activist born and raised in Chicago who has consistently been fighting against racial gerrymandering and for voting rights for the African-American people in the state of Illinois, County of Cook, and the city of Chicago. And I'm also chairman of the Southside branch of the NAACP's Political Action Committee.
Wow, I didn't know. Oh, well, yeah, I take it back. I did. So I said in one of your meetings how quickly I forgot. So, okay. So you are very familiar with Robert McKay.
Yes, actually, Robert McKay recruited me to join the NAACP, and he asked me to get involved with the Political Action Committee, the South Sac branch, about a year and a half ago.
And you know what? I am happy to hear, and I'm a member of the South Sac chapter of NAACP. I need to renew my membership, but I always set it up for this last time here. I'm the former vice president of NAACP for the Far South Suburban chapter. So, but you know, NAACP, Chicago South Side, is one of the largest. Well, let me put it like this: it was one of the largest, the most prominent NAACP chapters back in 1995. It experienced some problems with money. You know, they didn't have enough money to pay for people. But with under new leadership, I can see this organization being pulled back together.
We're working very hard, Maureen. We're working very hard to regain that status. There are some critical issues that affect the city of Chicago, African-American community. And one of them is the issue of unity and working cooperatively together to address some of our problems. And also controlling our own political destiny. We're not doing that in the city of Chicago, the county of Cook, or the state of Illinois. We should be having a Black United States Senate, and we should be mounting a statewide campaign. We probably even need a Black governor, and we can do it. But it takes some community organization, and it takes a lot of community unity, and hopefully with our new leadership in the NAACP, we'll begin to develop that statewide, citywide, and countywide unity that African-American community needs in America.
And what I can't understand now, and as all of you know, and the listening audience know, I work for Reverend Al Sharpton for National Action Network, and yet and still, Ben Jealous, who's the head guy of NAACP, and Reverend Al Sharpton and Reverend Jackson, they can all come together on the one table at little meetings, but the local chapters and branches of all these various organizations can't come together because we're still dealing with some ego problems. And I'm just saying it like it is. When I was with NAACP, my involvement with NAACP is what brought Rainbow Push together because they were separated. But the key word, Mr. Cosby, as you mentioned, is unity. They have to unify, but I think it's going to take us as the people who are not so high on the pedestal to put the people together.
Well, what we've done, Maureen, is we've tried to develop a working relationship with the South Suburban NAACP and the West Side NAACP. And we've tried to pull them together around fighting for voting rights, and pull them together to fight around increasing the number of registered voters. And, mm-hmm. and it's a project that we have to work with daily and collectively because many people and organizations don't understand what operational unity is.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It takes some time to show that you have it and to work to develop it. So it's not an overnight process. The slave mentality is rampant among our people. And we don't have an instant response to developing unity. And we got to get unified first. You know, there's some other coalitions that we need to develop that will make us stronger. But our biggest problem with developing those other coalitions is the fact that we haven't unified our coalition. And hopefully that's what we hope to do in the future.
And Mr. McKay, what are some of the things that you plan to bring to the table? Because you're very well known in the street. Everybody knows Robert McKay.
Well, Ms. Forte, one of some issues that we intend to do once we establish as the leadership in the NAACP on the south side of Chicago, guaranteed to put the elected school board on the ballot as a referendum in the next election. And that is critical that we do that, because viewing the recent strike by the teachers union and them publicizing that books, for example, were not given to certain school and school districts until the 6 weeks into the school session.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unacceptable.
Well, not only in Chicago, and I'm glad Mr. Cosby mentioned trying to bring the South Suburban together, because their schools, like in Calumet City, Caroline City, for example, would not allow the students to bring the books home, and the books are outdated. You know, so that's a call that needs to be addressed also.
We're working towards bringing a lawsuit against the city of Chicago and Cook County on this latest map we introduced. I think Bruce did mention that earlier. So
this is the fact that, you know, one of the reasons Robert is running and we're supporting Robert is because we, the NAACP, has developed a couple of maps, one for the city of Chicago and one for the county of Cook. And we have demonstrated that the maps that were passed by the city of Chicago City Council and the Cook County Board actually violated the voting rights of black people who live in Chicago and who live in Cook County. And that's one of the reasons that we have this whole effort with new leadership, because we want to advance these suits inside the federal court.
And also, I would like to see all these organizations, or some portions, or some members of the organizations, come together, because there's also some legislation of teaching black history in the classroom, even though it's on the book, does not follow through.
Well, we do plan on reintroducing a coalition process, because we attempted that with the voter registration drive. But that was obstructed by some individuals who we're not going to identify at this point. But we had convened meetings with a coalition of groups and organizations around the city of Chicago and Cook County. And we were moving towards successfully generating and registering thousands of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people, in Cook County and Chicago, Illinois. However, those efforts were thwarted by some individuals. So we plan on continuing that process once the new leadership steps in.
And when it's the election for new leadership, and tell the listening audience how they can vote, if they can vote, what's the process?
Well, the election is set for November 17th, 2012, and the eligible voters are only people who are in good standing 30 days prior to that election. That's the cutoff date was October 18th to become a member in order to vote.
Now, is that election going to, are you going to have mail-in ballot, or do they have to be present?
Well, that's up to the Election Supervisory Committee, and I don't believe that they're going to implement that process of having absentee ballots or mail-in ballots as part of this voting process.
Well, let me tell you why I ask. I ask because as an advocate for ex-offenders, I know for a fact that there are some young men or women who are incarcerated who are members of National Action Network, Rainbow Push, and NAACP. And so how do we reach out to them if their membership is up to par and if it's up to date? They do have a right to vote.
Well, that is a very good point, because in a general or regular election, in a municipal election or federal, the absentee ballots are part of the process. However, however, it is not implemented. And I believe that since the Election Supervisory Committee has control of this step towards the election, they may or may not be authorized to do that. That I'm not part of.
Yeah, Maureen, what we found out is that people have to be members to be eligible to vote by the 18th of October. And to run for office, they had to be members by April 1st to run.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't received any communication from any incarcerated people, but I think if they would identify themselves and make contact with us, then we would legitimately have a reason to develop an absentee process. It's very difficult, I can tell you, because of the way that the membership rolls come out of the national office. The secretary of the branch is the one with complete control of that membership list. So, it sounds legitimate. It sounds like a good case. But I would think that those people who are incarcerated need to make some form of communication with us. And then I think we could raise it as an issue that needs to be addressed, because absentee voting is something, but we have to work out the rules, the procedures, and the process.
Well, not only do the incarcerated have to reach out to you, but all these organizations have to reach out to the incarcerated, you know, by mailings and in fact, that's the most way of communicating with those who are incarcerated. This is the same problem that happened, I don't know if Mr. Patrick, you can recall back in, I believe, in 96 when Reverend Ashley Williams was running for the seat in Chicago against Earl King from No Dope Express. At that time, I was the vice president, and it was a big to-do about registering gang leaders, gang members, but people failed to realize that the incarcerated or the so-called gang members, they still have a right to participate in the voter
process. Well, according to the laws of the state of Illinois, once you're released from the penitentiary, be it state or federal, and if you live in the state of Illinois, you're eligible to get registered to vote and to vote. So that's not how it is in Wisconsin and Missouri and Indiana, but in Illinois, as soon as you're released from a penitentiary, you regain your citizenship and you are eligible to vote.
Right. I'm fully aware of that, but I'm speaking as far as voting and participating in these organization elections.
We need to make the whole issue of our incarcerated youth and others a top priority for a lot of different reasons, because of their education, to hold down the recidivism rate. I mean, there's just so many reasons why we need to be in contact with the incarcerated. So many of them feel that they have been left out and betrayed by those with better education or those in a better financial position. And we need to show them we'll welcome them back to the community and help them become better citizens. I mean, we have to do that.
Let's talk about, we have a few minutes, let's talk about the what's going on with the black contractors here in Chicago. Why is it that we have to wait for an 87-year-old man to get up off his couch to come and do the work of people who are way younger than he is? Is it about contracts for his son, or is it about contracts for the general population? I have a problem understanding why Ed Gardner, who is 87 years old, sees the need for all the injustices, and here we are, a way younger generation, and we pass by these places, and we don't see what's going on for the black population, the community.
Well, I would just say that I think you were involved with developing a black agenda.
Yeah.
And I think that's a critical part of the agenda, where we haven't really agreed on what we need to do in terms of economic development, what other things we need to do in terms of job training, job creation. I mean, there's a lot of different tactics that we're not using. So when you got an 87-year-old man leading the movement, well, you got to question the people who followed him. And what are their intentions? Because they may be suffering from Alzheimer's as well.
Right. I just could not understand why it took a 87-year-old person to get up to say, hey, this is I'm fed up. I'm like, this is not going on anymore. And yet still the younger generation is smiling. I mean, they pass this every day. Now, the Sunday that we were in Evergreen Plaza, we were still on the wrong side of the street.
We're not holding the corporations accountable. We're not holding the corporations accountable. We're not holding
exactly.
the governor accountable. We're not holding the mayor accountable. We're not holding the alderman accountable. We're not holding the congressman. I mean, there are some people who should be standing up years ago. What we see is a reactionary effort to address an issue that's been going on ever since black people were released from the plantation.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so until we really develop that black agenda and start developing these strategies around job creation and economic development and really being specific in terms of what is the governor doing, how many jobs did he create, Emanuel claims that he's creating jobs, how many people in your neighborhood are getting jobs that Emanuel created. And we have to hold these people accountable, and that's what's not happening. So you get an 87-year-old man, suffering from Alzheimer's, who all of a sudden now is the leader of a movement.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's really not a movement. It's just really a bunch of reactionary people without a plan being reactionary.
Exactly. Because for me, the Sunday when we were in, I'm not going to say Evergreen Park, when we were in Chicago, because the side of the street that we marched on was Chicago. It was not Evergreen Park. And I sat in my car and was trying to get people to cross the street into Evergreen Park, but they were afraid of the police. So
it just was in the suburbs. They held the rally on a Sunday. I mean, come on, what's wrong with that picture? I mean, it's not well thought out. It's not a strategy. It's a reactionary movement. We need a revolutionary and progressive strategy that's going to force open jobs.
Right.
Not a reactionary strategy where people are just reacting. We need a plan, you know what I'm saying? And none of these people have developed a plan to get jobs. And they don't even know about economic development. I mean, we just went to a mayoral election, and then only one candidate had ideas for job creation. And he was ignored for a former United States senator who didn't win one precinct. You know.
Well,
so,
Robert McKay,
I think a lot of it has to do with us. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror, Maureen.
Exactly. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror because we too must hold ourselves accountable. I know as an elected official in the village where I reside, nothing is built or placed unless we, the aldermen, okay it. And I'm in the south suburb as that first black elected official. And so that's the same situation with Evergreen Park. They should have met with the elected officials in that area there. But it's just something kind of scary there that is not clear. But Robert McKay, I'm going to have to invite you back on again. I have a question here from a Mr. Chester. Chester has a question. He wants to know, what can he do to help you? When is the next NAACP meeting? And is there, where are the meetings held? It's a three-part question for you, Mr. McKay.
Well, the next meeting will be held on all of the meetings are held on the third Saturday of each month.
Oh, okay.
at the Avalon Branch Library at 82nd and Stony Island.
Okay.
And what we're proposing, and I'll leave my number with Mr. Secker. He can call me.
Okay.
312-343-4337.
Okay, Mr. Chester, his number is 312-343-4337. That's Mr. Robert McKay, and the upcoming election is November 17th. So I know you're out shaking hands or passing out material or email, but I just want to open up my door to you every night if you like to come on and have some words up until the November 17th election. Because I know how important it is to be in charge of these organizations and move forward and take the people who want to be led. Because I know Harriet Tubman is just flipping in her grave trying to find the rest of these slaves that need to be free.
Right, but they did not realize that they were slaves or still slaves at this point.
Exactly. Well, Mr. Cosby, do you have any closing comments? Because we are running close to time here.
Well, I just want to say that Robert McKay is a Chicagoan who is a servant of the people, and we launched a very successful voter registration campaign this summer, and we couldn't have done it without Robert McKay. We had, what's our friend's name, who came here, the speaker, Robertson's brother, what's his name?
Robertson's brother?
Yeah, we spoke, you and Jocelyn got brought.
Randall Robinson
here, and Robert played a big part of bringing Randall Robinson to Chicago. He's a new leader, he's fearless, he's courageous, he's the kind of spirit that we need with the South Side and NAACP. So I just would encourage all members to vote for a change and vote for Robert McKay.
Okay. And Robert McKay, as I mentioned, my door is open to you every night if you want to come on up to the election, because we have a very large listening audience of In the Know with Mo from 10 to 10:30.
Okay. I want to thank you, Ms. Forte, and we'll have something prepared each night that we come on.
Okay, and we will resume. I want to thank Mr. Eddie B. Harris, because Mr. Harris is online. He's the author of Take the Chain Off Your Brain, and he sidestepped for this evening to allow us to have you two gentlemen on because of your busy schedule. But please tune in with me, Maureen Forte, if you didn't know, with Mo tomorrow evening, Saturday, October 27th, as I bring to you Mr. Eddie B. Harris from 10 to 10:30. Eddie, I want to thank you for your understanding and patience, and we will talk tomorrow evening. You have been listening to In the Know with Mo with your host, Maureen Forte. Until tomorrow evening, stay focused and be good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He won't let you down. And I know he forever in my heart. We
you've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause he's